Welcome back to a new episode of Talkin' Troy. I'm your host, Thomas Johnson, here with Casey Kasliner. The WNBA draft was this past week, and looky here, two Trojans were taken in the third round. Little bit of a sweat out for Caitlin Davis, who was selected at number 35. There are 36 picks in the draft, so she was the second to last pick, and Mackenzie Forbes was earlier that round, going number 28. She's heading down Figueroa to join the Los Angeles Sparks, while Davis will be heading back to the East Coast to join the New York Liberty. So, Casey, we've seen both of these players play a lot of minutes in a Trojan uniform. How do we think they're going to fare in the pros?
Well, of course, the WNBA is a league that's extremely hard to make it in, considering there's not many teams and not many roster spots. So the combination of those two makes it really hard for new players that aren't, you know, the highly touted players like Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, to make it big in. However, you know, obviously, both players are coming off great seasons and destined for teams that could make good use of them. Obviously, it's kind of two ends of the spectrum. The Sparks were not a good team last year, missed the playoffs, and the New York Liberty made it all the way to the finals and lost. So I think for both players, yes, there is opportunity to make the team, but it's not likely. 42% of draft picks actually make, or from last year's draft, actually made a roster by opening day. So it's less than half. It's not likely, especially in the third round, but I want to be an optimist. I think both players have shown flashes of greatness. I think especially Mackenzie Forbes being the second best player on a team like USC that won the Pac-12, went all the way to the Elite Eight. I think there's plenty of room, especially on a team that is very top heavy and could use some role players. But how about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I was surprised when I saw Caitlin Davis got drafted, and obviously she got drafted with the second to last pick for a reason, but she didn't really put up many numbers on the scoreboard for USC. Sure, she was an important player. She was really good at grabbing down rebounds. She was only 6'2", is only 6'2", but could defend multiple bigs. I just don't know if that'll carry over to the WNBA, especially when she's a third round pick. I could see Mackenzie Forbes making a splash just because we've seen her in every spot she's been in. That's Cal, that's Harvard, that's USC. She seems to play better when the lights are brighter. We saw that throughout the Pac-12 and NCAA tournament. She was the most outstanding player at that Pac-12 tournament for a reason. So I could see Mackenzie Forbes, you know, showing flashes of greatness in Sparks camp and making the roster. I'm not really optimistic about Davis, though.
Well, the thing with Davis that's interesting is I mentioned she had a great season considering it was a collective effort, and it was the Juju Watkins show, but you know, obviously the other players in the starting lineup, Kayla Padilla, Caitlin Davis, Mackenzie Forbes, were a huge reason for the success. And they don't have those players, they probably don't make that run. But the thing about Caitlin Davis is she's coming off arguably the worst season of her collegiate career. Look, I know competition at Columbia is not as hard as in the Pac-12, which best conference in the country, but she had an equal amount of minutes pretty much, only regressed by two from last season to this season, but basically cut her point total in half. She was averaging 13.6 in 2023 with Columbia, and now in this year at 2024, 6 points per game. I mean, I like you, I was surprised that she was drafted in a league that only has 36 picks. I mean, I'm sure, you know, at that point in the draft, there's not many great talents on the board, and they probably want players that are proven winners. And Caitlin Davis, of course, you know, contributing to an Elite Eight run is proving winning, but I mean, yeah, we talk about the Liberty. They're a very good team. Sabrina Ionescu, Brianna Stewart, they made it all the way to the finals. They're looking to get there again this year. I think it's tough for Davis, especially in that spot.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's where I was surprised that Mackenzie Forbes was taken in the third round, just because, like you said, Davis had harder competition this year in the Pac-12 compared to the Ivy League and seemed to do worse. Mackenzie Forbes had similar numbers, maybe a slight regression, but she led USC in minutes this past year, while also having to play in a much tougher conference, led the team in assists. So I was surprised she was taken in the third round and not the second, just because she has proven she can play on the big stage. But the WNBA is a much larger stage, so I'm a little worried about that. But the one silver lining is that last year, even though it's super difficult to make a roster, both Trojans drafted made the roster last year. Caddy Sizoko actually saw minutes with the Phoenix Mercury. Okako Adika, I don't think played very much, if at all, but she didn't play, but is still on the New York Liberty roster. So that is the one silver lining is, hey, they've played at USC. Maybe they can still make the roster. But I want to talk big picture here, because we saw the numbers out of the WNBA draft, the most viewed draft in its history by, I think, over a million. It was an over a million difference. So do we think that's going to carry over into the WNBA season? Could we see record numbers here in the WNBA season?
I think it should. I think when you look at the league, it's adding not only the best draft class, I think, of all time, but it's adding these very marketable players, right? We have players like Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink. These are household names already. And the reason for that is, and I've stuck by this theory a lot, is because as opposed to the men's side, the success by these players at the women's level in college has been marinating for a few years, right? A lot of people know who Caitlin Clark is because not only she had a great season this year and broken records, but she's also had success over the past few years. Same can be said for Angel Reese, Camilla Cardoso, list goes on of those great players drafted in the first round. Whereas in the NBA, a lot of these players that are drafted, like Wembanyama, for example, yes, he's a very popular player, and he's not a great example because he played overseas, but people didn't really know who he was before this past year. And I think kind of pre-Zion Williamson era, where you have, you know, yes, still a lot of one and done, but a lot of these superstar names, there's a lot more parity at the men's game, whereas in the women's game, there's a lot more superstars kind of running it, running the show. We see with Juju Watkins, we see with, you know, a lot of these teams, Paige Beckers, that made it really, really far. So I think for these teams in the WNBA that are picking these high-profile names, the success of them, like I said, has been marinating. It's been gaining traction over the past few years. And as a result of that, people know who they are and will get behind them. And I think it's really smart for Caitlin Clark. You know, she's playing at Indiana, the Indiana Fever, and that's not that far from Iowa, really. I don't have a map in front of me, but I can't imagine it's that far of a drive, that far of a flight.
Dude, it's the Midwest. No one in the Midwest cares how long of a drive it is. So
yeah, so she'll have those fans behind her. And I think, you know, Cameron Brink, she's staying in California. Mackenzie Forbes is staying in LA. Like, you know, I feel like the pieces are falling into place, and I think it will make an impact. I don't know how big of an impact it will be, but I think it will be an improvement nonetheless.
Yeah, this is slightly unrelated to what you were talking about, but I just found it interesting because you talked about marinating in college, these women's players, and that's a really good thing for the women's game. But you look at the men's counterparts in the men's division, if you stay in college for multiple years, it's a bad thing. Look at Drew Timmy, Oscar Tshiebwe. Those two players stayed in college, and look where they are now. Tshiebwe might still be on an NBA roster, but Timmy isn't, might be in the G League. Like, they're not doing anything.
Wisconsin Herd.
Yeah, but we see these college basketball on the women's side, stars like Breonna Stewart doing great things in the WNBA. Same with Ionescu, like you mentioned earlier. So it's just a very interesting how different these sports are. And I think that'll be good for the women's game in the long run. Oh, you can root for these players in college for multiple years, but then you can carry that rooting interest over into the WNBA. Let's say you were rooting for Drew Timmy at Gonzaga in college. You can't really root for him in the NBA because he's not going to be good, but you can do that with the women's college basketball stars. So I think that's going to be very important in a USC side. Root for Juju Watkins for 3-4 years at USC, whichever WNBA team she goes to at number one overall, whenever year that is. Everyone's going to be rooting for her from USC as well. So I think in the long run, it's certainly going to help the WNBA. And I think I'm more optimistic about how it's going to affect this year in and of itself. The Indiana Fever, you mentioned this earlier, already sold out all of Caitlin Clark's jerseys in multiple sizes. They've already sold out games. So I think it's going to be a very, very good year for the WNBA. And talking about the contracts that these players are getting, Caitlin Clark, I think, is making like $76,000 in her rookie year. Sorry, five figures for the number one overall pick. And when we see Victor Wembanyama make $12 million, and you know, that's just the salary from the WNBA and the NBA. Obviously, endorsement deals will supplement that a lot for Clark. But I think when viewership numbers raise, ticket sales raise, that increases the revenue for the WNBA, we could also see a huge pay jump for these players.
I wonder, yeah, that too, how it'll affect free agency. If, you know, Clark plays for the Fever for 3 to 4 years, depending on, you know, the player option with the fourth year, I wonder, you know, if the salaries do go up, if they're a lot more similar, like, you know, free agency in the WNBA is a lot more different than the NBA. So I agree with you. I think I want to jump back to Mackenzie Forbes just really quick. I think my case for her to make a roster would be the fact that she can kind of play anywhere. She kind of do it all. She can score at all three levels, and she's listed as a guard / forward. So I think for her, there's a little bit more, I think, potential for her to make a roster, just given the fact that she is sort of, you know, a unique player. She can shoot from three. She's really elusive inside. She's, you know, a bigger player.
She's not, I mean, for a guard, sure, but I don't.
I meant more like muscular, like a little bit more. Okay. as opposed to Juju, I think obviously different years, different ages, but I think you can put her on different spots on the floor, but I agree. I think it's going to be really hard, but yeah, my thing with the WNBA though, I think it's only growing. I mean, you have the expansion next year with Golden State Bay Area being added, and you'll have, I'm sure down the line, you know, as the league gains more traction, you're going to have, I've heard Florida probably wants a team. You could put, I feel like you could put a team in Portland.
Yeah, Portland. Well. Portland's been in the discussion I've heard recently too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there, and I think, you know, as long I think the big thing for them, and you see this in the NBA, is like if every team has a superstar, we see that in the NBA. Most teams, in my opinion, have a fringe superstar or a superstar. I mean, I can't think of one team in the NBA that doesn't have a good player, really, at least one. And so I think if the WNBA can establish a league where every team has excitement and there's a lot of parity, kind of like the college game, I think it would be really, really good for the league, just given, you know, marketing and making it a lot more exciting and making the playoffs a lot more close. And I think they also need to split up Western Eastern Conference. I think it's kind of silly how they do the playoff format. But
yeah, honestly, I think the only way to make the women's game more interesting is to add more teams to get that parity. Because if they're are only a certain number of good players, they're all going to want to play together, and there's only like one team they can play it. When you only have 12 teams, let's say six of them are contenders, six of them are not, that's just such a small variety of options for players to choose in free agency. Like, everyone's going to want to go to the Aces. Everyone is going to want to go to the New York Liberty. But when you have more teams, hey, maybe that'll change a little bit. Hey, maybe we'll see Mackenzie Forbes could even be a starter in the WNBA if there are more teams. And there's just so much talent around. I think that there could be enough rostered players for 20 teams, and it would still be interesting.
Agreed. I think another problem with the low salaries is it, on top of free agency, like you said, it really skews where players want to go. I mean, if you're not making that much money, I feel like playing in Las Vegas or LA sounds a lot better than playing in, say, Indiana or Connecticut. I mean, I know everyone's preferences are different.
No, it's the opposite, because Indiana is a much cheaper place to live than LA. Like, but so
Vegas is pretty cheap.
Yes, but like when we're talking about Los Angeles, I'm not going to want to make $76,000 in Los Angeles.
But you can get more endorsements if you're a fringe, maybe a player that doesn't have many endorsements yet, and you're a fringe player that can maybe get that.
Yet, fair enough. But like Caitlin Clark already has these endorsements.
Sure. A player so I like think Clark?
It's better for her to play in Indiana.
Role players, though, I think, you know, that's where it gets a little unfortunate.
They're not going to get endorsements, though. They're not going to get enough endorsements to warrant living in a place like Los Angeles.
Well, if the league gets bigger, I mean, you see role players all the time in the NBA get endorsements.
Well,
so
that's the NBA here.
Exactly.
I agree. If the WNBA gets bigger, then certainly that's a good argument there. And I certainly think it's going to get bigger, but it's a money issue at this point, because the NBA kind of like propped up the WNBA for so many years. But if the WNBA can become self-sustaining, can make their own revenue streams, can make enough money to actually like warrant having a league and warrant expansion, it'll be a good thing. And I think they're moving towards that trend, but
agreed.
We'll have to wait. I think this season is the litmus test for the WNBA. Is it going to be a successful product? In my personal opinion, it is, and it's going to continue to be, just because of the, I feel like it has a good mix of college football and college basketball, in that with college football, you root for these players for a lot of years. Like Caleb Williams was in college for 3 years. Now he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and USC fans are still going to root for him. Like I already mentioned earlier, you don't really get that with men's college basketball, but you'll be able to get that with women's college basketball. But we'll see if down the line, if it becomes so popular, the WNBA salaries get so inflated, maybe we'll have more one and dones in women's college basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's a fairly new league compared to the other ones. So I think there's a lot of things they can change, and, you know, people won't be arguing for tradition. I remember the days when the WNBA, every single WNBA jersey was just an entire sponsor on front. And to think now that they're actually really cool jerseys now, with they move the sponsor, they listen to the fans, and, you know, people are buying the jerseys, they're selling out. Like, the marketing wise, it's gotten a lot better. I think it's only going to continue to grow. I think adding Golden State, I'm a native of the Bay Area myself, I'll be watching, especially Paige Beckers will probably be on the team at this trajectory. So I don't know. I totally agree with you. I think, you know, this league is growing really, really fast. And I think this is the draft that's the X factor. Are they going to capitalize on it? I think they will. The NBA is great at marketing. We know their, you know, relationship with the WNBA is, you know, very close and tied in together, and they're watching over it. And so I think, you know, if they put the cards correctly, this is a league that can grow. And I think people are starting, you know, to kind of like remove the tropes around women's basketball. Oh, they can't dunk. Oh, they should lower the hoops. I think that's slowly going away. And I think because of how popular the NCAA tournament has been these past few years, especially, is making fans a lot more, you know, less divided, I guess.
Yeah, well, that is almost the amount of time we have today. Casey, any last notes on the WNBA this upcoming season?
Well, I'll be watching for sure. I have to scout out for when I'm, you know, a fan of the WNBA as a Golden State fan next year. So we'll see what happens. How about you?
Yeah, honestly, I agree. I have never really had an interest in watching the WNBA, but I'm going to be sure to tune in, at least for Indiana Fever games, and see how Caitlin Clark can handle the pressure of, you know, like Diana Taurasi and all these greats who are saying she's not going to play well in college. But we will see how that goes. We'll move on to another segment. For everyone at Talkin' Troy, I'm Thomas Johnson here with Casey Kasliner. We'll see you after the break with new hosts.
Welcome back to the Talkin' Troy Olympics Trivia Tournament Extravaganza. I've been your host for all of these segments, Jack Hallinan, and I'm joined by two awesome competitors here. Dana Hammerstrom in one corner. How does it feel, Dana?
It feels very surreal to be here. I didn't know that I would make it this far in the contest, but I'm feeling very excited and a little bit anxious about this. I'm not going to lie to you, Jack.
Well, I think you'll do great. And in the other corner is Fernanda Sanchez. How are you doing today?
I feel great. Not feeling very confident, but I feel like I still got it in the bag. But
you know,
knows?
These
who
questions
knows?
Are the knowledge can be so random that it's really luck of the draw on your guys' end with what questions that I stuck you with. All right. So for the listener, we're doing five questions per match in the semifinal. And whoever has more correct answers at the end of those five questions each will advance. If it is tied, I have numerical tiebreakers so that whoever guesses the number closer to the actual number advances if we need it. I'm going to start with Dana. Actually, wait, no, we flip a coin for this. That's how we've always done it. Dana, you're going to call it as to whether or not you'd like to go first. Pick a side, please.
I will take tails, please.
It was heads. So, Fernanda, would you like to go first or second?
I'd like to go first.
Okay.
All right.
Then your question is, name the USC football star who also competes on the track and field team.
Zachariah Branch.
Easy money.
He's in my class.
What class, if I may ask?
Issues in Contemporary Sport.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Sounds like a good class for an athlete.
Yeah, except it's at 8:30, so participation is a little bit lacking.
I see.
From the whole class, not just him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I'll say. This is a public podcast.
That's true. That's true. We don't want to reveal anymore. All right, Dana. Including the upcoming 2028 Olympics, how many times has LA hosted the games?
Three times.
That is correct. Off to a rapturous start.
Alrighty.
Okay.
One each. All right, Fernanda. Two members of the 2023-2024 women's basketball team were drafted to the WNBA on Monday. Can you name both of them?
Mackenzie Forbes and stumbling on her first name, but Caitlin Davis.
Yep, you got it.
That was fire.
Yes.
2-1.
Props to them. They deserve it.
They really did. Hopefully we see them make rosters at the next level.
I know. It's so brutal. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a tough world out there. All right, Dana. This one I hope is up your alley.
Oh, God.
Who is the current USC women's water polo head coach?
Casey Moon.
That is correct.
Because it's new this season.
The streak is just fire right now.
2-2. This is the most correct questions we've had in a row on this tournament.
And it's not even Women's History Month.
Yeah.
How about that?
Let's go.
How about that? All right. How many different countries have USC athletes represented in the Olympics, Fernanda? And you have a plus or minus of 10. So if you get anywhere within a 10 plus or minus range, you get it correct.
I want to say like 9. I don't know. That's just a guess. I don't even know.
The answer is 65.
Oh, yeah. I was way off.
I was going to say like 80. So we were both not thinking the right thing.
I mean, you were at least a little bit more on the right track with that guess there,
Dana. USC has people from 147 countries.
Oh yeah, I did not know that.
But that's that tour guide knowledge you got right there.
So true. But I was like, there hasn't been an athlete from every single country.
No, but many countries.
65?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, Dana. Can you name two Olympic sports in which USC fields a varsity women's team, but not a men's?
Soccer?
Soccer is one of them.
Beach volleyball.
Correct. Your other potential answers were rowing, or lacrosse, or cross country.
I wasn't sure if lacrosse was Olympic sport.
So lacrosse, I counted lacrosse because it's coming back to the Olympics in 2028.
Okay. And I also didn't know we had cross country, period.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Olympics doesn't necessarily have cross country unless you like count the marathon, but I thought that was close enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know? All right. So you have a 3-2 advantage going into Fernanda's fourth question.
Gulp.
Sweating over here. Like,
where did USC's men's swimming and diving team finish at the 2024 National Championship meet? You have a plus or minus of 4 here.
3.
22.
I was going to say 20. Oh, my God.
I don't know anything about the swim team. Like,
That was a tough question, admittedly.
That was tough.
All right, Dana. If USC were an independent country, where would it rank among all countries all time in medal count? And you have a grace of 2 here.
It's 13 in gold medals, if I'm not mistaken, but you're not giving me any facial cues, so I'm just going to stop looking at you. I'll say 15.
You got it.
No way.
No.
So
it's crazy.
The answer is 13, but you got it within 2.
Okay.
And, you know, I was trying to keep it together when you said 13 on the gold medal. I really needed my poker face.
So
there.
It's 13 on all medals. I wonder what it is for gold.
It might also be 13.
All right.
I don't know.
That's
pretty
advanced.
I can't
remember
off the top of my head.
Right?
Technically, yes.
No.
Because you have 4. And Fernanda doesn't have enough questions left. But we're going to do it for content.
Okay.
Content.
Because, I mean, we only have 2 questions left after all.
Okay.
Fernanda, new men's basketball head coach Eric Musselman was previously in charge of what college program?
I don't know.
Boy.
I don't know.
Someone didn't listen to Thomas and I's reaction podcast after his hire was announced.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Arkansas Razorbacks.
Oh, the more you know.
It's okay. I get it. I'm sick of Thomas, too. Just kidding. Love you, Thomas.
That's definitely staying in the podcast. All right, Dana.
Just don't make him edit it or he'll be mad at me.
Precisely.
Again.
You have a chance to end with a perfect score here.
Don't tell me that, bro. But actually, let's see. Okay.
USC Beach Volleyball head coach Dane Blanton played indoor college volleyball at what SoCal university before eventually winning a gold at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney in beach volleyball?
Gulp.
This is some obscure knowledge right here, frankly.
I don't want a hint because then that like ruins the perfectness, but I probably just won't get it right. And you said obscure knowledge, so it's not like a big one? Well, no.
I would say it's quite well known.
Okay. San Diego State?
Pepperdine.
Yeah, forgot about that one.
Yeah. But you still finish with the greatest performance, I think, in the history of this tournament.
Let's go.
Okay.
With an 80% correct record.
That's better than my astronomy midterm grades, so I will take it. Let's go.
There you go. Post-game reactions, Dana. How does it feel to be advancing to the final where you're going to face Thomas, the man who you just said you were sick of?
I could never be sick of Thomas. That was just a front so that I would win. No, I'm just kidding. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like I am gaining more followers in my journey. I avenged Darren. He was my first follower. And now Josh was rallying behind me. And Fernanda, I assume you're going to be vouching for me for the rest of the tournament. She's shaking her head.
Wow. Holding a grudge, I guess.
Now I'm feeling extremely sad, and I'm going to go cry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm feeling wonderful. Thank you, Jack, for your wonderful questions.
My pleasure. It's a labor of love.
So true. So
I hope you win.
Let's go. That's all I need.
The graciousness
from
Fernanda.
Yes.
Well, we have the second semifinal coming right up, so stick around. We are back with the Talk and Troy Olympics Trivia Tournament Extravaganza. This is now the second semifinal between Thomas Johnson in one corner. Thomas, how's it going?
Dude, I'm not feeling very confident right now. I'd say if I was Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, I'd definitely bet the Layla McKenzie money line.
Well, you would probably get a better result, hopefully, than Ipe got.
Yeah, what was it? He lost $180 million?
He was down like $40 million in debts.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. He won 180, or excuse me, won 140, lost 180.
Yeah,
so, which
pretty
is just
tough.
An insane amount of money. Well, I can't even think about that.
Speaking of, in the other corner, we have Layla McKenzie. Layla, how's it going?
You know, I was having a super awesome fun time kind of day, and now I'm a little nervous. Yeah. If I'm Thomas, I'm feeling like my job's on the line. But
what is that supposed to mean?
I mean, I don't like losing.
Okay. I think she's threatening to fire you.
Well, see, I figured that out, I think, because she is my editor. I'm her assistant editor, but I'm a little more nervous now that she said that.
Well, to clarify what's at stake here, the winner of this will play Dana in the final. And because it's a semifinal, I've bumped up the number of questions from 3 to 5. Same rules, though. So whoever has more correct answers at the end of this will advance. If it is tied, we have a numerical tiebreaker. So whoever guesses closer to the correct number wins. Without further ado, let's see what happens here. So I'm going to flip a coin. And Thomas, call it.
I'm going to call heads.
It was heads. So would you like to go first or second on the questions here?
I want to go second.
All right, so then we'll start with Layla here. First question: which USC sports team has the most national championships all time?
I gotta go track.
That would be correct. Right. Specifically men's track and field, but they have the most national championships of all time.
Is that team championships or individual?
Team
or
championships.
Both? Okay, team. Really?
Yeah.
Team championships.
I mean, I would be interesting to track individual national championships.
Well, because I'm sure it's certainly also track, but
yeah.
I didn't know about team championships either.
But yeah, this one was team. All right, so Thomas, going to you. USC women's basketball's Elite Eight run in 2024 was their best result since what year?
Oh, easy, 1994.
I figure you might get that. For someone who's covered the team as closely as you have.
Yeah, looking at Darcy Couch's recaps of all of the postseason games, that was the common number of 1994. Oh, their best run since 1994. So it kind of sticks with you after a certain point.
Exactly. All right, Layla, back in kind of the national championships category here.
Okay.
Which USC sports team that no longer exists won a singular national championship in 1962? Your hint is that some of the events include high bar, vault, and pommel horse.
Okay. So when I hear pole vault, that's what I'm thinking. I'm feeling like track, but we've already established that that's been around for a lot more than 1 year. I'm feeling megathon.
What is the megathon?
It's like, well, you mentioned a lot of things, and I feel like most sports don't have a lot of things. And it's a sport that I don't know. So I'm just assuming it's something with a mega amount of events.
I see.
Can I
guess?
Yeah, you can.
So I don't know if it's men's or women's, but pommel horse kind of gave it away. Is it gymnastics?
It is. It's men's gymnastics.
Men's gymnastics.
No longer existing.
They got to bring back gymnastics to USC, especially when they join the Big Ten. USC does. I think they got to bring back
The Big Ten. Big gymnastics conference.
Well,
sure.
The Pac-12 is too. Like UCLA was doing really well. They've been historically good at gymnastics, women's gymnastics. So I think they need to bring it back. I don't. That's going to be interesting when USC moves to the Big Ten if they're going to add more sports with the additional revenue they get.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
That's maybe another podcast segment we could do, honestly.
I'm the idea man.
How would we change the distribution of USC sports' resources? I kind of like that idea. I'm still stuck on Megathon. Would that not just like be in track? If you were really going down that route.
True. But I think...
Also, Megathon wouldn't be in a sport. It would be an event.
Exactly.
It's a mega event.
Yeah, mega event,
so
not mega
sport. It's so big it becomes a sport.
Oh.
The Super Bowl is a big event. It could also be... Well, it's also part of a sport.
It's part of a sport, yeah.
That was a bad argument. I don't know, okay? I didn't know the answer.
Maybe you need to start the USA Megathon Association.
Exactly. LA 2028 Olympics, line up for the Megathon. I'll be fielding the Olympic qualifiers in the village this weekend, actually. So y'all should pull up.
I might have to throw my name in the hat there. All right, over to you, Thomas. In what years did USC women's soccer win their two national championships? You have a plus or minus of 1 year for each. So if you get either within a one-year span, I'm still going to count it.
Okay, so I know from the first round of this Olympic, whatever we like to call it, trivia extravaganza, that USC women's soccer won one in 2007. I'm certain of that. I'm pretty sure their second one was before that. I don't think it was in the 21st century, so I'm going to go 1994?
One correct.
Okay.
But you went in the opposite direction for the other one. So they did win in 2007.
Okay.
But it was actually a much more recent second victory. It was 2016.
Really? I feel like I did know that. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
It was I forget his first name, but the previous head coach before Jane Alcunas was a guy named McAlpine.
Yes.
And it was under his reign that they won. With, I think, Savannah DeMello, U.S. Women's National Team player, in the team. But I could be wrong about that. Anyways, fun facts. All right, we're tied at 1-1, going into the third question here. So, Layla.
Yes.
Pretty topical question here. But how many Trojans have been drafted to the WNBA all time?
All right, so I'm thinking last year they had two. This year they had two. So there's four already, and the league has not been around for very long. 1997, I believe, is when it started. So it's been
That's right.
Almost 30 years, and USC is not known for being very good. So I'm gonna say if they averaged one every year, 21.
Not quite. The correct answer after this week, I believe, was 16. So you were in the right zip code.
So
I think your line of reasoning was good there.
What's
but
interesting for that, because I know 16 is the right number, but I don't think that includes like the two who were selected in like the what is the equivalent of the expansion draft.
Yeah, there was like the inaugural,
yeah, the inaugural
talent draft
select,
is what
yeah.
they called that, because they had to, you know, start the league with existing players of any age.
So I guess that makes sense as to why they're not included in the quote unquote draft count, but
even if you did, I don't think that number is above 20.
No. Yeah. She's wrong. Cause yeah. I want to advocate for myself here. I got to win, but
for the sake of conversation,
for the sake of picking and like just future trivia knowledge, it's interesting that those two, cause I think it was two of them selected in that inaugural selection, are not considered in the draft amount.
Yeah, Lisa Leslie, one of them.
Yeah.
The topic of a previous question in this trivia. All right, back to you, Thomas. More draft-related questions here. So, I mean, as we know, flag football is coming to the 2028 Olympics, so I've considered football in bounds for this tournament, even though it's not a traditional Olympic sport. But in honor of the upcoming draft, in which we'll likely see Caleb Williams matriculate to the Chicago Bears at the first overall pick.
Good word.
Thank you. And only in sports journalism word often, or just graduations, I guess. In what year was the first USC quarterback drafted into the NFL? And you get a plus or minus 5 years worth of grace.
So that's tough because I'm trying to think how long the NFL draft has been around. Because USC also wasn't super good. I can't remember when their first national championship was, because I assume their first quarterback drafted was around that time as well. You know what? Because USC has historically been more of a running school, I'm going to say their first quarterback drafted, 1959?
You're a bit off the mark there. It was actually 1945.
Really?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Who? Do you have that name?
Have the name right in front of me. I saw it earlier and I just plucked the year for this question. But I mean, also, you know, they didn't throw the ball as much back then. So you could still have a quarterback who is more useful on the other side of the ball there.
Quarterback. Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyways, so there's some football history for you. Layla, going back to USC women's basketball for this one. Where did current USC women's basketball head coach Lindsay Gottlieb have her first head coaching job at the collegiate level?
Oh, this is a layup.
For some.
Ooh, is she about to miss this? Ooh.
Hey, there's a reason why I'm not on the women's basketball team. Okay, so I know she coached at Cal before she went to the NBA, but Cal seems like a bit of a, like, if you're entering a head coaching space, like, that doesn't seem like the kind of school where you'd start out. And I do know she went to Brown, so I'm feeling Brown, question mark?
Wait, I got this.
Yep.
UC Santa Barbara.
It is UC Santa Barbara.
Shout out the Gauchos.
Yeah, sorry about that, Layla.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself off the beat now.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I don't hate your line of reasoning there, though. She was a player coach at Brown in her final year on the team, if I'm correct. That's, Thomas, can you fact check me on that?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just thinking, like, the Ivies do love their legacies, so I thought maybe, like, they just kept it up.
Fair point. Speaking of the Gauchos, a lot of UCs have great names. Not the Bruins, obviously, but...
The banana slugs. Santa Cruz. Oh, Tritons, San Diego.
Tritons. I was down in San Diego this past weekend. Drove by some UC San Diego athletic facilities.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know what UC Riverside's name is. I feel like UC Riverside would have a good mascot name.
Let's look it up.
Is it like the Mud Puppies?
The Mud Puppies. That would be a good name. Could like Marshland.
The Marshland.
Oh, it did not disappoint.
Oh.
The Highlanders.
Ooh, yes. Women's basketball has played UC Riverside this year. So, Highlanders. Wow. That's good.
The UC really do, they have a great hit rate for good
athletic names. Yeah, but then, and then their two best schools in athletics, the Bruins and the Golden Bears. Like, I know.
Pretty lame.
I know the bear is the California state animal and all, and it's on the state flag. Right. But, like,
but it's duplicate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's duplicate. Just like two different names to say bear.
Pretty lame.
Boo.
And UCLA should get their act together.
And because USC has the best bear anyway, and Bear Alexander, the defensive lineman. So.
Precisely. Staying put.
Staying put. That's big. That's big.
That was a bit of a 24-hour roller coaster. All right, we're kind of returning to the football well, I guess, on this one, Thomas. In what year was the Coliseum's construction completed? You get a plus or minus of 5 years again here.
I don't think I'm even going to need that. Because I want to say at a game last year, they celebrated the 100-year anniversary of the Coliseum. So I'm going to guess 1923.
You're exactly correct. This is why he's a journalist, ladies and gentlemen. He pays attention.
I listen. I look.
He does.
I hear.
He does indeed. The Coliseum, soon to host a third Olympic opening ceremony, I believe. Ooh. Although maybe they're doing the ceremony at SoFi. I can't remember.
Has to be the Coliseum. I mean, they got the Olympic torch. I don't know that for a fact, but... It would make sense for it to be at SoFi, but I feel like the Olympic Committee and LA 28 would want more history than new flashy.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll fact check myself on the final just so I can get clarification on that, because that would be a little bit controversial, I feel like, to go to SoFi, even though it is the new flashy in-style arena in not just LA, but the United States, really. It would be kind of weird if they did not go back to the Coliseum for that.
Yeah, when there's literally an Olympic torch.
Exactly.
In the Coliseum.
All right, Layla, you need to get this one correct if you're going to advance, because Thomas currently has a 2-1 advantage.
Ah, yikes. Okay.
So, Katinka Hozu, a former USC swimmer from Hungary, won how many Olympic golds at the 2016 Rio Olympics? And you get no plus minus here. You got to get it exactly correct.
Fun fact, y'all, Katinka's actually my mother, so I kind of know this one. Just kidding, she's not. 3 is my guess. Just because I, like, it's a magic number. Schoolhouse Rocks has kind of been on my mind lately. So yeah, locked in.
Well, Schoolhouse Rock had it correct. It's 3.
What'd I say?
So now we have the potential to go into a tiebreaker here if Thomas does not get this question correct. So the pressure's a little bit on here.
The pressure's always been on, Jack Allen.
Well said. Which former Chicago Bulls player is USC's leader in most blocks? And to be specific, this is both total blocks and per game blocks.
Sorry, most blocks at USC or most
at USC?
At USC. Shoot. See, I'm not the most well-versed in USC men's basketball history. And I know Nikola Vucevic is probably big on the blocks, but also I know he's a current Chicago Bull. So that kind of eliminates him. But I can't think of any former Trojans who are also former Bulls, because obviously DeMar DeRozan's not going to be a blocks leader, and also he is still on the Bulls. Oh my God, I'm running circles around my head.
5, 4,
Vucevic, 3. Nikola Vucevic.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. As you know, the former was a key word there, and it's actually Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson. Yeah. I forgot he went to USC. Is he retired yet?
That's a great question. He's one of if he is retired, must have been recent, because he was pretty recently on the Knicks, because he's one of Tom Thibodeau's like favorite go-to guys.
Yes,
kind of.
Knicks.
He's currently on the Pistons roster. At least that's what Wikipedia is telling me.
Detroit.
But I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a thing where next season, like midway through the year, we see like a Taj Gibson, I'm retired post. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the snarky quote tweet response by everyone is like, I thought you retired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to a tiebreaker.
Ooh.
How about that? Okay, so because you won the initial coin toss, Thomas, I'm going to give Layla choice of either going first or second on the tiebreaker answer. I think there's a clear one that you would rather have, but okay, I'll let you have that anyway.
I'll go second so that I can higher, lower, whatever Thomas picks.
The classic hedge move.
Shoot.
All right, so Thomas, you're going to be the first one to say a number for the following question. What was the total medal count for USC athletes at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics?
Total medal count?
Total medal count.
8,000.
Golds, bronzes, and silvers.
The Tokyo Olympics. Okay. See, that's tough. That's tough because I don't actually know how many USC athletes competed in those Olympics. Ooh. Because if it was like gold medals specifically, I would say like 13, but I know it's not gold medals. I'm going to say 21. 21 total medals.
There's no point in Layla even going here because Thomas, you got it exactly right.
Really?
It was 21.
21?
Horrible.
11 golds and then 5 each silver and bronze. I'm stunned right now. I don't know how you pulled that out.
I'm stunned too. Again, I didn't even know how many athletes competed from USC at the Tokyo Olympics, but.
Well, you hold the distinction of being the first person to get a tiebreaker question exactly right, at least to my memory.
That's impressive. I guess you can keep your job, Thomas.
Thank God.
Well,
I'm so nervous.
Now you get to play Dana in the final. How does that feel? Two aces going
again,
at it.
I've been the underdog, I feel like, coming into this tournament. Actually, that's a total lie, just because I might be. No, I'm not the longest tenured person on staff during this tournament, but I feel like the underdog coming into every round. I feel like I'm going to be the underdog going into the finals too. Dana is a very, very stout opponent, so I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried, not going to lie.
Yeah, she's been cruising, honestly.
Cruising?
Yeah.
That's the word you want to use?
I would say so. She went 4 for 5 yesterday.
Four for five? And what did I go? 3 for 5? 2 for 5?
2 for 5.
Oof.
Now, I would say you could argue that I didn't give her the most difficult selection of questions.
Okay.
But nonetheless, she got 4 out of 5 of them correct.
Well, I'll have to listen to the podcast, which everyone should be doing.
I mean,
so
they
I
probably
can scout.
Are if they're listening
well,
to this.
Well, yeah, if they're listening to this, they're listening to the podcast. But, you know, got to
tell
plug
a friend
it.
About it.
Yeah,
got to
plug
send
it.
Send it to a family member. We love any kind of sharing of this little show that we do.
My brother listens to the podcast I host on just to make fun of me for it.
You know, but that's true sibling love right
there. And that's getting listens. So
exactly.
Even if it's negative engagement, it's engagement nonetheless.
And you're the only one who gets the negativity of it.
True.
It's positive
yeah.
for the rest of us.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, that has been it for the semifinals. And we'll be back next week with our final episode of the semester. And it'll include the final between Thomas and Dana, which will be very exciting. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. And we'll see you later.
This episode of Talkin' Troy was hosted by Thomas Johnson, Casey Kasliner, Dana Hammerstrom, Fernanda Sanchez, Layla McKenzie, and Jack Hallinan. Produced by Jack Hallinan, Joshua Sacker, and Jonathan Park. Talkin' Troy is one of three shows on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network. You can listen to all other episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts or on our website, dailytrojan.com.